This is Hunter with WGLZ. We are college radio that is passionately vocal. Today I'm joined by a special guest, Dr. William Scott Hanna, who is an associate professor of English here on the Hilltop. This is the third segment of the series Passionately Vocal, known as Faculty Focus. Dr. Hanna is very credible, with a PhD in English from Indiana University of Pennsylvania, his master's in English from Marshall University, and his bachelor's degree in English from West Liberty State College. Dr. Hanna also has multiple published poems and a published creative nonfiction piece. Let's get started with the interview. How are you doing today, Dr. Hanna? Is everything all right?
Doing great. Almost the end of the semester. Got a lot of grading to catch up on and, you know, not looking forward to the snow that's on the way this winter, but doing well.
Yeah, snow's starting to start. I'm not ready for it either, but glad to hear you're doing good. Let's get started with some questions.
Sure.
So starting out, I'm curious, how'd you know English was your calling? Has it always been that way, or was it like decided later in your life?
Well, my dad was an English professor here for 35 years.
Okay.
So I grew up with it, you know, in the household, and he was always giving me books to read. And as a young kid, I wasn't really into reading that much, but he got me interested in Faulkner and Shakespeare by the time I was in high school, and I was really interested in it. But I wasn't real interested in going to college when I was in high school, because I was more interested in, you know, doing other stuff like a lot of kids are. But
yeah, I get that.
Decided to give college a try. Came here to West Liberty. Didn't have a major or anything. Didn't know what to do. And ended up in my freshman English class with a legendary professor named Dr. Jack Hatman. And as soon as I had his class and watched him teach and saw how effective he was and motivating people and how passionate he was about English and literature, I knew that's what I wanted to do.
That's sweet. I like that, legendary professor. Going off that last question, is that like kind of why you wanted to teach, because of him? Like he showed you like the passion that kind of led into you teaching now?
Absolutely. Yeah. Of course, you know, growing up with my mom was a teacher also. She taught second grade for years.
Okay.
And, of course, my dad started out here in the English department, and then he moved to communication. He taught journalism, and he was the head of the trumpet for several years here.
Oh, that's really cool.
So, you know, teaching was just kind of in the family.
Yeah.
And I didn't really, I guess, latch on to it until I had Dr. Hatman for class, and also another legendary professor here named Dr. Dave Thomas. So both of them were really influential in my sort of figuring out what I wanted to do.
Okay, that's really cool. So going back to English, it's very broad. So are you more interested in like the writing aspect or the reading aspect? Or both?
Well, both really, because I teach both creative writing classes and literature classes here. But at heart, I'm a writer. And so, you know, I went, as you mentioned in the intro, I got my PhD at IUP, and my focus was contemporary American poetry.
Okay.
Specifically poetry of place, right? So poets who focus on the intricacies and nuances of how specific places inform their creative process and writing.
Yeah.
And so one of the poets I focused on in my dissertation was the Bridgeport, Ohio, or Martins Ferry, Ohio native Pulitzer Prize-winning poet James Wright. And returning to his work really inspired me to get back to my own writing. So after I finished my PhD dissertation, it really kind of inspired me to get back to the creative side of writing. So I've been pretty much focused on that ever since.
Okay, that's really interesting. Is there a reason that you chose West Liberty to teach at? Like, is it just because you went here and knew the area, or?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was born and raised about 8 minutes out the road near Ogilby Park.
Okay.
And, of course, I said my dad taught here. My brother and sister both went here. So, you know, it's home to me. And I was fortunate enough. My first teaching job was at Wheeling Central, high school. I was there for 8 years. And then fortunately a position opened up here, and Dr. Thomas, who I mentioned earlier, reached out to me to apply, and I was lucky enough to get the job. So
that's really cool.
It's like a homecoming, you know, every day that I come up here. So it's kind of neat.
That is sweet. If you could go back, do you think you'd still like choose to teach and be at West Liberty? Like, would you change anything?
Well, when I was younger, I always wanted to be Indiana Jones. So maybe I'd pursue an archaeology degree, but
that'd be cool.
In all seriousness, no, I think I made the right choices.
That's good. Very good. What would you say has been your biggest struggle as a professor at West Liberty? Or doctor, sorry.
Biggest struggle? Probably finding a parking spot if I don't get here at the right time in the morning.
Yeah, that definitely is a struggle sometimes.
Yeah.
Limited parking. What would you say was your biggest achievement here?
Biggest achievement. I was really honored to get the Faculty Excellence in Teaching Award a few years ago, which is voted on by faculty. And then a year or so before that, I was honored to get the student-awarded Teacher of the Year Award for the College of Liberal Arts. So those were two pretty important moments, you know, to be recognized like that.
Yeah, but, that's awesome.
You know, as far as I think achievements, though, that are, you know, more important than being recognized in awards is just the little things that make you want to be a teacher, which is like making those connections with students, you know, inspiring someone to write a poem that they thought maybe they didn't have in them, or, you know, seeing that kind of light bulb go off when, you know, you're making those connections with students. So I think those are the biggest achievements.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. That actually concludes our first half of the interview. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back with the rest of it. You are listening to WGLZ, student radio that is passionately vocal. This is West Liberty's top-tier radio station on 91.5
FM.
What's going on, West Liberty? This is Hunter with WGLZ. We are college radio that is passionately vocal. We just finished up our first half of this faculty focus interview for the series Passionately Vocal. Dr. Scott Hanna just told us about his decisions when choosing English as his path alongside West Liberty. Now let's talk a little bit about your published pieces. You have over 15 poems and 2 creative nonfictions published currently. It's pretty impressive. But are there any other pieces that you're working on right now, or anything you're hoping to get published in the future?
Oh yeah, I'm always working on things. I have a poetry manuscript that I've been working on for several years that's getting close to being finished, as a poet, you've always, at least the way I work is, I've got, you know, 10 times as many poems that I've started and I'm working on than have ever been published. So there are always those drafts that I'm returning to see if there's any potential there. So
do you just like slowly chip away at poems, or is it kind of like you get the inspiration and you just go finish it out at once?
You know, both. I always stress this to my poetry class, is that sometimes a poem will come out in a burst, and you know, it's pretty close to finished, but most of the time it's the chipping away, like you described it.
Okay.
Because poetry is such a precise use of language.
It is.
That every word, you know, has to be right. And I personally am very meticulous about the words, which most poets are.
Yeah.
And so that means that, you know, it's a long process usually before I'm satisfied with the poem and ready to send it out there to try to get published.
I totally get that. I noticed you had 3 poems published in January of 2018. Were they like connected, or did you just have burst of inspiration and just wrote them all out, or were they kind of things you've been working on and then just all three got published? Like, is there a connection there, or is it just...
I think what you might be... if I'm remembering that correctly, they were all in the same journal, I think. Still the journal?
They were, yes.
Yeah, and so it's a great online journal. Focuses on Appalachian writing. But I'm pretty sure that all three of those are connected because they're all about being a dad and my kids.
Okay.
Which most of my writing sort of tends to focus on family, you know, being a son, being a dad, having kids, raising kids, just going through those challenges and, you know, the intricacies of parenthood and things like that.
Yeah. I feel like that's good inspiration for poems, definitely. Speaking of that, in your poem, The Unfolding, is a beautiful piece, but you talked about your son and, like, how you can feel his pain whenever he discovered the concept of death, if I interpreted that correctly. Do you think you could, like, read through that and give us a little explanation? Or
yeah, I'd be happy to read it for you. Like you said, this is sort of about a moment when my son was old enough to kind of recognize the reality of death and, like, the finality of it.
You know,
that people we lose, you know, physically aren't going to be there anymore. And so I'll just go ahead and read it. It's called The Unfolding. Tonight, trying to comfort my son from what he now accepts as real death, I think of how I used to lie in my boyhood bed, staring through near sleep up and out the window, between tangled branches shuddering in the wind, the winter moon, the milky blue night sky, listening above my own fears, miles away down in the valley, to the currents of the Ohio, unfolding and unfolding and unfolding. Now, mourning for all those he knows he will one day lose, he climbs, sobbing, up into our bed, burrowing into his mother's arms as close as physics will allow. And I know what he's trying to do, where he's trying to go. Folded now deep within the rhythms of her voice, he falls to sleep, and in that sleep they embrace so completely, trying to hold each other back from what they both know will dawn only hours from now. Trying both to go back to what they once were, with him alive inside, sleeping, waiting, every day listening to the rhythm of her heart, the notes of the songs she hums to him, the pulse of her blood feeding him, tucked safe within that dark space of beginning, where no knowledge can enter, of mourning and age and pain, only blood and water and mother and persistent time, ushering him closer and closer toward entering the currents of his own life, toward entering his own unfolding.
That was beautiful. That actually gave me goosebumps, I'm not even gonna lie. So, like, when you're writing a piece like that, like you said, it's precise words, you gotta, like, kind of perfect it. So how do you find the right words? Like, have you ever experienced, like, a writer's block?
Oh, well, like I was saying earlier, it's different for every poem has kind of its own story behind its composition, you know? So
right.
I stress a lot about revision to my classes. And really, I mean, as far as writer's block is concerned, I think that the best thing to do if you're kind of stuck is just to keep writing, right? Because with poetry, it's such a... Poetry is such a paring down of language, you know. I try to teach that the fewer words as possible is the better, you know. And so sometimes getting a, just writing and getting a bunch of ideas out there, you have all the language out there, and then you can begin just sort of cutting it back and finding what's what works, you know. So that's kind of the way I've always dealt with that.
Okay. In comparison to your nonfiction pieces, poetry, I'm sure the writing goes really different. So what about, like, writer's block with nonfiction pieces? Like, if you're running out of ideas, mm-hmm. you have any advice for students or any other writers who are just struggling to get the ideas and get the flow going?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one thing I always tell my writing students, whether it's creative writing or just freshman English class, is that you don't know the ideas that you have. You're not going to come up with any ideas just by staring out the window, you know. It's something in the act of, you know, moving your fingers on the keyboard. It'll tap into the part of your brain that, you know, the words will start to come.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of sort of forcing yourself to start writing, even if it's just nonsense, right? That's usually sort of the best trick. And I think that it's usually kind of what works for me the best, is just to plow right through it, I guess.
So it's kind of like a similar tactic with poems and...
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Going back to some of your pieces, another one that really caught my attention was Whiskey in the Universe. Do you want to read through that real quick?
Yeah, if there's time.
Yeah,
sure.
Plenty of time.
This is another one about my kids. The previous one, obviously, about my son, but this one's about my daughter. And just a moment where she was, I don't know, 2 or 3 years old. Out in the other room while I was in the office working on writing poems. She was out there, coloring with her art supplies and stuff. And this is kind of where that came from. So I'll just go ahead and read through it.
Perfect.
Whiskey in the Universe. We each start with blank white space, with you in the next room painting a world all your own, and me in here drinking whiskey and writing poems, turning the tree outside the window into an infinite universe of flowering and shedding and flowering. And no matter when, blackbirds huddle in the branches, each onyx eye reflecting the convex turn of distance and time. When you were in there and I was in here drinking whiskey and writing poems about loving you even more, because the tree outside the window filled with blossoms and birds and kept our time in its branches, as sure as stone sheds its shape in rushing water. And now you're in the next room painting, and I'm in here drinking whiskey and writing poems, because I put you in this world on this page, and because it's never quite as simple as a blackbird on a bare black branch, a worn stone and a clear stream, choosing which color should come next, which word should follow this one.
That was also beautiful.
Thanks.
Like, you have very talented poems. I really enjoy them.
Thank you.
I feel like being able to express your love, like, through poems for your family and for your kids, like, that's a really beautiful thing, and that's a great way to do it. I can just really tell. Like, I enjoy those pieces.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. That concludes our interview for today. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
No, I just appreciate having the opportunity to talk about writing and reading and my career here at West Liberty, and how much I appreciate the place, and it's a big family to me, so I always feel home here.
Yeah, well, I greatly appreciate you doing this, helping me out. This, again, was part of the series Passionately Vocal. This was the third segment, Faculty Focus, and thank you again, Dr. William Scott Hanna, for helping me out with this. This has been Hunter with WGLZ, and I'm signing off.